Morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany. Pastor Bart Miller has chosen for a sermon topic, The Ordinary Miracle, based on John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Mrs. Judy Tufel is at the piano this morning and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
We come here to worship God this day. We use the order of service on page 203. We celebrate the Lord's Supper this day as well. After our offering today, we're going to ask the newly elected officers, and also I understand all of the officers of the congregation who have been asked to serve this year to come forward for a brief service of installation and dedication, and we appreciate you doing that. And also, after the worship service, we'll have a brief voters meeting to discuss the budget for the upcoming year. So keep those things in mind as we now come to God with our sins and ask Him for His good word of forgiveness, and we hear His word and we receive Jesus' body and blood this day. We begin our worship with hymn number 405. Stand as we begin our worship on page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And together now we enter into worship with God. We use the words of Psalm 128, and we will read those responsively by half verses. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands.
You shall be blessed and shall be well treated.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house.
Your children will be like olive trees throughout the day.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed
who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion.
May you see your prosperity and the fruits of all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Singing the glory in excelsis. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. This is the second Sunday after Epiphany, and as we go through this season of Epiphany, and as we head toward the time of Lent, when we view Jesus going to the cross, we read about his revelation, or the light shining on him and who he is, beginning with our scripture lessons in Isaiah chapter 62, which points ahead to who Jesus would be and how people would know Jesus really was our Savior, the Son of God. From Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5, we read, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, 'My delight is in her, and your land is married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you.'" And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12, where he writes these words about who you are and what you have become when you have faith in Jesus Christ. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for our Alleluia in verse at the bottom of page 205. We read the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Glory to you, O Lord. In this scripture lesson, Jesus for the first time reveals to his disciples his miraculous power. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars of water there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. and we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue our worship now with our next hymn, number 412. Join our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, give to us this day the miracle of your life for our forgiveness. Wash us clean through a miracle of our baptism once and for all, and through the ordinary words of this day, give us the miracle of life that you promised to all who believe, that Jesus has changed all of the ordinary things of life into our great salvation through his body and blood. Amen. You may be seated. After Jesus was baptized, and we in our church talked about Jesus' baptism last week because that was the very first light that shined on Jesus and the public acknowledgement that he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. The Bible tells us that Jesus went into the desert or the wilderness or the country area where there were no people for 40 days and 40 nights, and he went without food or any contact with people, and he spent 40 days praying. And he was tempted by the devil, the Bible says, and resisted those temptations. And then he went out and began to talk to different people about following him. And the disciples began to follow him or go with him on his travels, talking to people. And Jesus, as he was talking, said, "Wake up, God is speaking to you, the kingdom of God is at hand." And surely he was, because Jesus was God himself, and he was really talking about himself being with people. And then he began to do more than talk. He began to do unusual things. And the very first unusual thing that Jesus did, at least that the disciples recognized, happened at a place where they were visiting Cana, a big city in Israel. And at that place, there was a wedding feast going on. And we read about it in our gospel lesson for this day. They ran out of wine. And as the ceremony went along, Jesus was asked by his mother to do something. And Jesus changed a lot of jars of water into wine, into spectacular wine. And only the servants and a few other people knew that Jesus had done it, including the disciples of Jesus. And the Bible says at the very end, he said, "This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, and thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him," or they believed in him. The subject of miracles fascinates people all the time. I hear people all the time say it's a miracle. They talk about that. I remember way back a long time ago, if you remember long enough ago, there was a little girl who was trapped in a well, deep in a well, and they couldn't get to her. And through a lot of effort, some rescuers pulled her out of the well, and it was all on live television. This was some years ago. When they pulled her out, everyone was saying it's an absolute miracle. Not long after that, there was an earthquake in another part of the world. And a whole week after the earthquake, they heard someone and they rescued a little child who was buried under the rubble, and the child was alive, and they said it was a miracle. You could probably think back to countless times you've heard of amazing rescues and things like that that have happened. It's a miracle. People even use miracle in kind of a casual way. I heard somebody say it's a miracle that the Chiefs are playing to go to the Super Bowl. Now, what do people mean by that? See, some of you are going, "No, it's not a miracle." Well, if God's going to intervene, he's going to have to do something marvelous today. Maybe. You see, what we do with miracles, we label them. And what do you mean by miracles? I asked some people this week, I was thinking about talking about miracles. I asked our acolyte, "What's a miracle?" What did you tell me?
When your dog
might die and he lives? Yeah. What does a miracle mean? Well, most people will say a miracle is something unusual or unexplained. You realize scientists don't like the word miracles. They think everything can be explained somehow. I'm a little bit like that too. You know, something happened. My wife comes home and she says, "You know, the car was running bad, and then all of a sudden it started running good. It was a miracle." Like, no, it wasn't. Probably what happened was this little piece was stuck, and it probably came unstuck, and I explained it to her. Deep down inside, I think it was a miracle too, but I act like I knew what happened. But that's what we talk about miracles. That's what we mean. We mean something unusual or unexplained happens. And is that what a miracle is? We also talk about miracles in the sense that everything has to turn out good all the time. Very rarely does something happen that's unusual and unexplained and it's bad and we say it was a miracle. A miracle has to have a good ending to it. A miracle season for a sports team has to end with them winning. If they don't win, the miracle is long forgotten. It's not a miracle anymore. So our text for this Sunday is about a miracle. In fact, John, Jesus' disciple who writes this, calls it a miraculous sign. But is he saying it's an unexplained sign, or is he referring to something else? It's a sign for John of Jesus showing his glory. It was explained in John's mind because God somehow was intervening through Jesus, and he later came to find out that God was able to do it because he was God and he could do anything. Some Christian writers have referred to this particular miracle, the changing of the water into wine, as the ordinary miracle. Now, if you think about it, those two words are opposite of each other. A miracle is something unusual that you can't explain, and ordinary is something that happens all the time that you know has an explanation to it. But what they mean by the ordinary miracle is that in this particular miracle, Jesus didn't do anything to save someone's life. He didn't cause something to happen that avoided a terrible tragedy. It might have been kind of a little bit inconvenient that they ran out of wine, but it wouldn't have been the end of the world. Nobody would have died because there was no wine at the wedding. And in fact, not very many people knew about it. The master of ceremonies and even the bride and bridegroom and most of the guests had no idea Jesus did this miracle. John is very specific. He says the servants who put the water into the jars and took them in knew what happened. And the disciples knew what happened. And maybe a few other people who had been in the back room, but everybody in the front room didn't know what had happened. And in fact, it wasn't even important that they knew what had happened. And John tells us that this thing that happened that doesn't normally happen, that he referred to as a miracle, happened so that the disciples would believe in him. So the disciples would believe Jesus could do something that he wouldn't normally be able to do as a human being. Now, Jesus goes on throughout his ministry, and we know that as he did things, he did more and more miracles. And some of the miracles were not only unusual and unexplained, but some of the miracles were absolutely life-changing and life-saving. He brought people back from the dead, literally. He healed people of things that they had had wrong with them for years that no one else could have done under any normal circumstances. So what about your life? How does that affect us? That's really what it comes down to. John talks about how these miracles affected them. This changing water into wine didn't just give them a nice glass of wine. It caused the disciples to believe in him, to look to him to do something more. Usually when someone does something fantastic, we look for them to do something more fantastic, to kind of top themselves. And that's what they were looking for in Jesus. Now, if you think about how the disciples went through Jesus' life, they were looking for him to do something more all the time, and he was. Not too long after he changed water into wine, he fed 5,000 people with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. He began to do more fantastic things. He walked on the water. He healed people, and he eventually raised someone from the dead. And all these things kept the disciples thinking he was going to top himself. And then we get to his suffering and death, and he got arrested and crucified on a cross, and he disappointed them terribly. What was Jesus doing all this time? Is Jesus a disappointment to us? Well, when I think about how it affects me, I think, do I have ordinary miracles that happen in my life? And when I look at my life, and I've talked to people about, people say sometimes to me, have you ever seen a miracle? And I'm like, I don't know. Have you ever seen a miracle? Sometimes we think to see a miracle is to see something so spectacular and unexplained that, you know, we can say we saw something that, you know, was just absolutely mind-blowing. But I can tell you that I believe God does ordinary miracles in our life each and every day. In fact, I believe that when I wake up in the morning and take a breath, that's a miracle. When I had children and they came out and grew up and everything worked, To me, that was an absolute miracle. I had nothing to do with it. I have a wife who loves me and stays by my side. That's a miracle. It actually is. I believe that. All these ordinary miracles happen in my life every day. My heart beats, my lungs work, my eyeballs see things. All the ordinary things of my life, all the relationships of my life, all the blessings God gives me, all the things I'm able to do, and even sometimes the things I'm not able to do and the shortcomings I have are miracles of God that He gives me. For the same purpose as He gave the disciples this miracle in Cana, so that they would see Him and believe in Him, so that they would put their faith and trust in someone other than themselves. And those are ordinary miracles we have every day. We come to church here and we sit here and we listen to the ordinary words of God about a man who lived a long time ago, but he did something for us. Now you might think that Jesus didn't really do anything spectacular until he went to the cross. But if you read the Bible very carefully, Jesus was doing something for you every moment of his life. From the time he was conceived and born, and even as a baby, and even as a little kid, and even as a young man. The Bible makes it clear that he was living his life perfectly in your place, every single moment that he lived. In the temptations of Jesus in those 40 days that he spent in the wilderness, it makes it clear that Jesus was resisting those temptations and telling Satan to go away because he was doing that for you. Every moment of Jesus' life, every breath that he took, he was living his life in your place. An absolute miracle that God would come and he would live my life and step in my shoes, but live my life perfectly for me. And then he did something even more amazing. He traded his life for mine and he took my dying life on himself. And he does that in this incredible miracle that happens today in this church when he takes the bread and the wine, very ordinary things, and he gives it to you and tells you, this is Jesus' body and this is Jesus' blood. And he gives it to you. When we eat and drink this body and blood, Jesus says, you will have the forgiveness of your sins and you will have a new life. It's reenacting what happened at your baptism. When an absolutely ordinary thing like water is put on you in a very simple way, and in that action, God promises that he will trade his life with yours, that he will give you Jesus' life, a perfect life that will last forever, and you'll be born again, not of flesh and blood, but of water and of the Spirit, and you'll live forever. We look at those ordinary things all the time, and we think they're not a really big deal, but God says they are. He says he takes something very ordinary, something very usual that we use all the time, food and water and words, and he turns them into something that is an absolute miracle. Not because we do anything fantastic with them, but because Jesus is in and with those things that he's really present doing those things. We see these miracles all the time. Miracles happen in your life every single day. An incredible miracle is happening here in this church now. When you step forward and receive the blessing of God and when you receive the body and blood of Jesus, he's using a miracle to change your life, to change it every single day, because he wants you to live forever with him. In the end, he wants you to have the miracle of resurrection and life, the same miracle that he performed on Easter, the same miracle that he gave to Lazarus when he raised him from the dead shortly before Jesus went to a cross. God gives you your life today. And in a way, you are a miracle of his light and his life because he puts himself into you and you can go out and tell other people about Jesus and you perform a miracle every time you do that. Not because you're so persuasive or you're so winning or you're perfect, but because God promises he's going to work miracles through you when you speak about Jesus Christ and live your life as he wants you to live it. God wants you to have that miracle today. It seems very ordinary. Sometimes we think we're too ordinary to have miracles happen to us, but I believe, and God's word tells us, that he takes us and he does miracles for us all the time and miracles through us. On the very last day, Jesus told a parable about the people who would come to the kingdom of heaven. I mention it every once in a while. I mention it in Bible classes. I mention it when I talk to people. It's maybe my favorite picture of heaven, where God looks at the people who are coming to the kingdom of heaven and he says, "Welcome to the kingdom prepared for you before the world was even created." And the people look at Jesus and they say, "When did we do anything?" When did any miracles happen to us? When did anything special happen to us? And Jesus tells them, whenever you did something, the least thing you did for someone in my name, whenever you did that, you did it for me. And it was a miracle, and I used you to bring other people to know about me. And the people who enter the kingdom of heaven have no clue as to how God used them, because while they went through their everyday, ordinary lives, God was using them in great ways. We believe that by faith, and I believe that God will use each and every one of you this day and this week. I believe that he does miracles all the time through us. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians, another great passage where he says, every single person has been given a spiritual gift. They don't necessarily know what it is. You can try to figure it out, but maybe your spiritual gift is something you don't even recognize. But God gives it to you. He apportions it, the Apostle Paul said, to each and every person. And it may be something great, and it may be something small, and it doesn't make any difference, because God will use that spiritual gift in great and miraculous ways. You are an absolute miracle of God. He has designed and created you, not only your body and your soul, but your life and your eternal life, to do something miraculous for him. We do it in ordinary ways every day when we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I commit all of you as great miracles of God to go out and do ordinary miracles all the time in the name of Jesus. And that when people see those ordinary miracles, just as you saw at the wedding at Cana, people will see it and they will believe that Jesus is their God and their Lord and their Savior, their light and their life and their joy for all eternity. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we respond in thanksgiving to God with our offerings. This time, I'd invite all of the newly elected officers and all the officers of the congregation for the coming year to come forward. Nobody's getting up yet, but I assume somebody is going to be an officer this year. So all those who are serving in positions that you've been chosen for, please come forward. This is always a good thing to do. It's a reminder of those that you can see those who have made a commitment to this Christian family, and that they will understand that the work that they do is blessed by God and that you support them as well. All of you who are loved by God stand before us, And we know that the Bible tells us that all things in the Christian church should be done decently and in good order. To that end, they have constitution and bylaws of this congregation, which all of you have read and memorized. And in those constitution and bylaws, it's established various jobs and offices and services that men and women have been elected and appointed to serve. In doing so, we follow the example of the church throughout all the years. We read in the first epistle of Peter, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various graces. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the word of God. Whoever serves, the one who's strengthened by God, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in all that we do. You all have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You are to work with the leaders and the pastors that life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see the services of God are held at their proper times, and the word of God is taught and it is presented in its proper way. You are to see that the temporary affairs of this congregation are taken care of and properly administered. And while holiness of life is good for all of us, it is especially important for you as leaders to display that life in all that you say and do. And so in the presence of God and of this congregation, I ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? Do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of this Lutheran church? If so, then all of you answer, I do. You as a Christian family have the responsibility to support these individuals and all that they say and do. Do you promise to support them, to remember them in your prayers, to work with them to the best of your abilities so that God may be glorified in his work done in good order in this Christian family? If you as a congregation support them and agree to that, then say, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you all as officers in the congregation at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Almighty and Merciful God and Father, enlighten you and enable you to do your work in a good and joyful way. We bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you give us servants to work among your people. We ask you to give them your grace and your Holy Spirit and the gifts they need for faithfully carrying out these tasks. Give them wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Bless this congregation and strengthen their faith, quicken their love, and give them encouragement and enthusiasm that your name may be glorified here in all places under heaven and on earth where your Son's name may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have served in the past and give thanks for them, and we ask you to continue to be with us this day and in the future in all the days that you give us here on earth. Amen. And so now go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the ways of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain, and may the Almighty and Merciful God bless you in all that you do. Amen. And as they return to their seats, we stand for prayer. Lord God, we thank you for all things. We thank you for this Christian family, for those who have presented themselves as workers here in this harvest field, that they might continue to equip the saints at Emmanuel Lutheran Church to do your will and to follow your ways. Continue to bless us and make each of us a miracle in our own way each and every day, that you will work through us to give people the knowledge and the faith and the light and the joy of Jesus in all that we say and do. Move our hearts to be your servants, to be your disciples, and to be your children. We especially thank you for the miracle of Jesus' body and blood presented to us this day, that we might receive it with great thanksgiving and joy, and that we might leave knowing that you go with us, and that you are with us, and your life covers us each and every day. We thank you for this miracle and for the miracle of faith and life we have through your Holy Spirit. Continue to bless each of us and use each of us according to your good and gracious will. Amen. And we continue our worship now with the service of the sacrament on page 208 in our hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We recognize the great miracle of Jesus as he gives us his body and blood in his own words. When we remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after the supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We're dismissed from God's table with the canticle of praise known as the Nunc Dimittis. It's on page 211. We stand as we sing our song of dismissal. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this most wonderful and miraculous gift. And we implore you that in your mercy you would strengthen us to have more faith toward you and fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.